Colossians chapter 4. Lord willing, we'll finish this up this morning and Lord willing, begin our studies in the book of Genesis. I hope you're looking forward to that. We started it several months ago, one message and quit, but we may begin that Wednesday night. Oh no. Let's read verses 7 to the end of the chapter of Colossians 4. Paul is in prison when he writes this and says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen." At first glance, this seems to be simply a closing salutation or bidding them farewell, but it's so much more than that. I was greatly blessed studying this. Scripture says all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and so forth. There's several names mentioned here. Some of them are familiar to us, some are not. They all tell a tale. They're all known by God. And there are stories within the stories, behind the name, stories of God's providence and saving grace to almost all of them. And I thought about the Lamb's Book of Life, which has our names in them. Our actual names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, as well as every incident that has taken place in our life. That's right. And as the Psalm says, we spend our years as a tale that has been told, already been ordered in all things, I'm sure. We spend our lives as a tale that has been told. Known unto God are all the work His works from the beginning. So our names are in a book like these. The first name, verse 7, Tychicus, he says, Paul says, he'll tell you how I'm doing. And I sent him, verse 8, for the same purpose, that he might know how you're doing and comfort you and come back and comfort me, telling me how you're doing. Now, Paul is in prison. And it's not one of these country club places today. It's rough. And yet he's more concerned for the people in the churches than he is himself. He writes to comfort them and know how they're doing. That's a good attitude, isn't it? That's the reason the Lord blessed him so much. Would we like to have Paul's faith and joy and peace and comfort? I would, wouldn't you? Well, then maybe we ought to have Paul's attitude, huh? Let this mind be in you, he wrote in Philippians 2, which was also in Christ Jesus, who became a servant. Look not on our own things, but the things of others. And he did just that. Our Lord did, and Paul did, and the Lord blessed him greatly. Gave him peace that passeth understanding. Gave him comfort in the midst of the most difficult trial and suffering. Would we have Paul's peace and faith? May we have Paul's attitude of thinking on others. Our Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive. To serve than be served. You do so, and the Lord said, I'll bless you. He promised it. He promised it. Tychicus. You know who Tychicus is? Look at the end of this book in the very small print written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. Tychicus. Paul had very, very poor eyesight. He had some kind of eye problem, affliction in his eyes. And he wasn't able to write, to see very well. Very, very poor eyesight and a problem. And men wrote for him. Tychicus took dictation. Onesimus, they wrote down what he told them to write. One of the epistles, I forget which, was he said, you see how large a letter I wrote to you in my own hand. He wrote it, that one, in his own hand. But Tychicus took this all down, and like a scribe, and so did Onesimus, and hand-delivered it to the Colossians. What a privilege. What an honor. What an honor. Huh? Who's more important, the one who wrote it or the one who delivered it? Neither. Neither. Both are members of the body. Both serve Christ the head. That's really what all of this is saying, that we're all members one of another, have the same care one of another, we're all members of the body. Christ gets all the glory. No. The body doesn't get the glory. The members don't get the glory. Christ, they're all serving the head. And by doing that, serve one another. But what a privilege. Tychicus. Verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Now, do you know who Onesimus is? Anybody remember the story of Onesimus in Philemon? The runaway slave? Huh? That slave of Philemon who became a rebel and probably stole from Philemon and ran away. My. He said, he's one of you. I couldn't help but say, that's right. Once wild, now he's broken by the grace of God. Once ran to mischief, ran into trouble, or to trouble. Now he's sitting. No place he'd rather be than sitting under Paul's preaching. Helping Paul, whatever he could do. Once, Paul wrote to Philemon, he's once unprofitable to you, but now he's profitable to me and to you and everybody. He says he's a faithful. Listen to what the grace of God can do to a runaway, no good, worthless, ungrateful thief and a rebel. He's a faithful and beloved brother. One of the great, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see. That's the grace of God. Grace of God. And he was allowed also to deliver this blessed epistle. Is there a more blessed epistle in the Scripture? A more blessed passage of Scripture, God's Word, and then Colossians? Have you enjoyed it half as much as I have? What a book. What a wonderful book. Onesimus is allowed to play a part in delivering that. We have it because that runaway slave, the Lord saved that slave and made him a deliverable one. That's what I am, a deliverable. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Aristarchus was with Paul a long time. He was with Paul when they were apprehended. Well, Paul in Ephesus, you remember the big riot over Diana, the goddess Diana, and the Colosseum there. Well, they grabbed Aristarchus, who was a believer. They grabbed him and Gaius and pulled them into that big arena that Greg told you about visiting over there. Pulled him into that big, like 50,000 seat arena, a place where they threw people to the lions. And they would have done so had not the Lord intervened. Paul escaped. Well, he's still with Paul now. His life was in danger there at Ephesus. Did that scare him? And did he run off? No, he's still with Paul. Now he's in jail with him. What would you do to keep the gospel? Would you hazard your life to keep the gospel? That's a good question, isn't it? Aristarchus did. What a great saint this is. What great grace of our Lord in this man. Nevertheless, the Lord wrote for all of us to remember that this man put his life on the line for the gospel. We owe him a great debt, don't we? Aristarchus, very few people know him. Well, God knows him and honors him. Honors him. That's a good question. Would I lay down my life for the gospel? What would I give in exchange for it? Our Lord said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose it for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. Eternal life. John Marcus, verse 10. Marcus, that's John Mark, sister's son to Barnabas. That's the nephew of Barnabas. Apparently Paul wrote something else concerning him, sent something concerning him, a commandment. If he comes, you receive him. Barnabas' nephew. Maybe he's unknown to you. You know the gospel, the second gospel, Mark? John Mark wrote it. That's who wrote that. He was, we believe, converted under Peter's preaching. Peter said, he's my son in grace, in the Lord. Apparently the Lord used Peter. If you go back and look at Acts when Peter's preaching, John Mark was there when the Lord raised up Paul and Barnabas to go preach the gospel. And we believe he heard Peter preach. Peter seems to say that. And perhaps Peter gave him that account of the gospel to write down. So he had the privilege of writing that gospel down, like Luke, who was not an apostle. He wrote it down. And all right, verse 11 says Jesus, which is called justice by the circumcision. Those who are Jews called him justice instead of Jesus. Perhaps they changed his name, believing that, and he was agreeable to it, believing that there's only one that deserves the name Jesus. I could understand that, couldn't you? They changed his name. These, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Marcus, Justus, he said, these are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. Fellow workers. All workers. Mandy and I were watching some series on a British broadcasting channel on this great house. Rich landlord and lady and owned a great big estate in England back in the pre-World War I times. And in that great house, it was a good illustration to me. It was in that great house, there were numerous servants, from the servant, the butler, the most trusted servant. Behold my servant. From the butler on down, the cook, the footman, and down into the maids and the cooks and so forth. And we enjoyed that greatly. But it made me think about the Lord's kingdom, the great kingdom of the Lord, as one Lord of the manor. See, everyone in that house served Him. And no one had a more important job than the other. No one. No one had a more important job than the other. They all worked together. We heard that in Hebrews where it says, "He that buildeth the house is greater than the house." You see. And everyone else is just equal. Equal. And Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places. He said, because the hand's not, the foot's not the hand, it can't say, "I'm not the member of the body," or "the ear's not the mouth," or whatever. No, they're all vital, aren't they? Try doing without your little toe. Try doing without the nail on your little toe. Huh? Every member is vital. Even the ones you don't see. When your gallbladder starts bothering you, you'll be thankful for a good gallbladder. Sherry. The things you don't see are vital. Members. The unseen, the unknown, the unacknowledged, the forgotten members. He said those are the ones you really should bestow more on. All fellow workers, he said, laborers, fellow workers unto the kingdom of God for the glory of our great King. All necessary, all have a job to do, all contribute to the care of the house, to the glory and the honor of the Master. All do. And he said here in verse 11, they've been a comfort to me. All of them have been a comfort to me. We're told that, aren't we? Comfort ye one another. One another. Comfort ye one another. Paul said, they've been a comfort to me. Paul was a comfort to them. But he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Who's weak and I'm not weak? Who needs comfort and I don't need comfort?" Everybody needs comfort, don't they? We're all people of like passions and like weakness and like temptations and troubles and trials. Everybody. We all need comfort. And so he says, comfort ye one another. Listen to this. Brother Tom, I'm going to put this in our bulletin for next week. He just wrote down several scriptures. He says, we're the family of God. And we should cultivate a continual care and concern for each family member. Believers are one body in Christ and members one of another. And here's what the scripture said. Be at peace with one another. Love one another. Preferring one another. Let us not judge one another anymore. Admonish one another. Care for one another. These are scriptures. Bear ye one another's burden. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Comfort one another. Edify one another. Exhort one another daily. Pray for one another. How many times does He tell us that what we are about is the Lord's glory? We serve Him. And our Lord said, you serve me, I serve in my body. Lord, what can we do for Him who's in heaven? Nothing, really. Nothing. He doesn't need anything. So if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But His people are. They need it. He said, and if you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. A cup of cold water. Vicki wrote this to me and thanked me for something so minor. It was nothing. It was nothing. But she wrote me and quoted that verse. Just a cup of cold water in a disciple's name will receive a prophet's reward. A cup of cold water. Who got this? John or John? Thank you. Either John or Ron Wong. Thank you. You know how good this is to me right now? Thank you. As important as what I'm doing. That's what the Lord said. What the Lord said. Comfort ye one another. This has happened to me many times over the year, but I was driving to Kingsport to preach right after a service here one Sunday when they met at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And No, yeah, 3 o'clock. I was driving there, and after preaching that day, which happens to me so often, I felt so miserable. I felt like I'd so failed. I wanted to quit. Okay, I just wanted to quit. It happens all the time. And I was driving down the road, just distraught. Okay, and my cell phone rang. And there was a man from Connecticut on the phone. Can't mistake that Connecticut accent. John Micah. And he just was calling me to tell me, to thank me for that message and how the Lord spoke to him through that message. You'll never know what that meant to me. It was like the voice of an angel. It really was. That Connecticut accent was the sweetest. He was just gushing over the message. I was about to weep after hearing him. Comfort one another. You never know. You know, the Lord often speaks to His people through His people. Doesn't it? Yes, He does. If we are always needing comfort and never giving comfort, we're not serving the body. We're just feeling sorry for ourselves. And the Lord won't honor that. He won't give you the peace you need or the comfort you need. But if you endeavor to comfort others, the Lord will comfort you. That's a fact. That's a fact. Would you hear that again? If we're only receiving comfort and never giving it, the Lord won't give it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And He says, if you give, the Lord will give to you. Who will give it? Men shall give to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's right. That's the rule. That's what the Lord said. You walk by this rule, the peace of God will be upon you. Epaphras, verse 12. He's one of you. He's one of you, a servant of Christ. He saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. I bear him record. He hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them that are in Hierapolis. Epaphras, a servant of Christ. You know what his servant service was? Epaphras, he's a preacher. He's actually the preacher there at Colossae, but he's away now. And who was it? Archippus is preaching in his place. But Epaphras was the preacher there, but his greatest service, Paul mentions, is he labors in prayer for you. You see what the Lord, what a premium the Lord puts on prayer? Labors. He called prayer laboring. You have a difficult time praying? Anybody besides me struggle in prayer, have trouble praying? It's labor, work. It's difficult at times, isn't it? It's wrestling with the Lord. It's wrestling with yourself. It's wrestling with, isn't it? Labor. We say, you have an old saying, you know, it wouldn't be called work if it wasn't work. But it's labor. It's not always enjoyable. But he says he labors fervently, actively, unceasingly, continually in prayer for you. What if you thought somebody was laboring, always laboring in prayer for you? Somebody is. Losing sleep over you. Somebody is. I know somebody is. Laboring fervently. Zealous, he said. He hath a great zeal for you. Zeal means heat. Zeal like water boiling over. Zeal. Great zeal. Have you ever seen somebody zealous? Huh? Have you? Like ready to boil over? Zealous. What about? What's he zealous about? You. Isn't that something? You know, it's better to be overzealous than not have any at all. That's right. Lord loves zeal. He said, I would that you were hot or even cold, but not lukewarm, not indifferent, not uncaring. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, complacent. He said he's zealous over you. Zealous. Great desire. He has a great desire, Epaphras. He was away and he had said he had a great desire that you hear the word, that you believe it, the truth, that you be grounded and settled, confirmed and perfected and grow in grace. It's a zeal. Our Lord said that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Would to God we all have that zeal. For what? One another. Lord, help us all. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician. Luke, he salutes you. Luke's a beloved physician. Paul's constant companion. Luke was with Paul everywhere. Constant companion. And that was the Lord's wonderful providence because Paul was beaten 5 times. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was in constant, he was injured constantly. And in pain. You know how much pain Paul was in all the time? He was beaten, Brother Mac, 5 times, 30 times, slices with a whip. 5 times. How many lashes is that? And most men didn't live through that. Stoned, shipwrecked all night in the deep. And he's writing to comfort us. What's wrong with me? Where's my faith, huh? Where's my care and concern? Lord, give me grace. I don't deserve the name Paul. My, my. But Luke was with him. That's the Lord's wonderful providence. He had an attending physician with him at all times. What providence? What wonderful providence. The Scripture says not many wives. Luke was a physician. Not many wives. Doesn't say not any. Luke sure thankful for that. Not many wives. Not many mighty. Not many mighty. David sure glad. Doesn't say not any. And Demas greet you. Anybody know Demas? He wrote to Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was with Paul and Luke and Timothy and others quite often for years. Demas seemed to love the gospel. Demas. But he left. Having loved this present world, that is, people, things, pleasures, something, someone, things, maybe all these things in the world, he loved more than, well, he didn't love God at all, or he wouldn't have left. Oh my. That's written on purpose, isn't it? Demas, like, remember Lot's wife. It's a short verse, isn't it? Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Demas. That's a great dire warning, isn't it? However, some say he may have written 2 Timothy before, or 1 Timothy before, 2 Timothy before he wrote this. That the Lord called Demas back. And that would not just be like the Lord, right? The Lord is merciful, isn't it? You know He does that, doesn't He? He does. There's some. There are a few. There are a few that leave for a long time. Not many. But there are a few. The Lord brings them back. What mercy. What grace. Aren't you glad the Lord, God is God and not a man? Forget you. No, him that cometh to me. You come on back. I will in no wise cast out. We may need that later. We may need that later. My, my. I've known several preachers get caught up making money and quit the ministry. It's easy to do, especially if you're a struggling young preacher and not making much money and you were used to it before and struggling to make ends meet and you start making money. And I've known several to go out and just quit and start working. That's easy. I can see easily how they do that. Easily. No more of the responsibility and problem and so forth. Just make a living and go on about your business. But I have known one. The Lord brought him back. They're more dedicated than ever now. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Now we need these words of warning too, don't we? As well as encouragement and comfort. So he says in verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. Salute this some folks meeting in Laodicea, Memphis. The church is in his house. Salute them. We need to, you know, and you do, you when you pray. I hear John prayed this morning for the other brethren, the other churches. We need to do that. If the Lord won't bless us, may He bless Crossville, right? Or Fairmont, right? Sylacauga, a little church down there. The Larry Chris just went there. Brother Tommy Robbins died, you know, and Larry Chris went down there. And we need to think about those people. They're struggling. And on it goes. Drew Dietz out in Missouri. And just on and on it goes. We need to think about that. Salute the church there. It says the church met in this man Memphis' house. They met in his house. What grace this man would have the whole church. I don't know how many there were. There were more back then usually than there are now. The Lord said the field's white with harvest back then. Not now. But I don't know how many met in his house, but that man opened Memphis. You never heard of him, man, except this. He opened his house up to the whole church. You know how difficult that is? Ladies, Irene, you know how difficult that is. Mindy, you know how difficult. Tammy and others. Nancy, you know. You all know. Cherry, you know how difficult this is. It's tough, isn't it? It's a lot of work involved. Does the Lord bless it? Will the Lord bless that house? Asked Obed of Edom. Obed of Edom. He said, I'll take the ark. The ark of the covenant. He said, I'll take it. Keep it in my house. Kept it there. How long was it? 6 months or more? And it says, the Lord blessed the house of Obed Edom. Oh my. For the ark's sake. Brother Greg Elmquist. You love him more now than you did. Know him better. Appreciate him more. I can't tell you what they've done for the church. I cannot tell you. Before they had a building, they met in his home. Constantly. Screaming kids and all. And the Lord has greatly blessed him. Greatly. And so He will. So He's promised and so He will. Verse 16. When this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodicea. Read, read, read. Listen to Brother Bruce preach the other day on the Word of God. He said, read it. Read it. Read it. Read it and read it again. Just read, 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 read. May the Word, remember this? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly. How will that be? Read it. We read so much stuff. There's so much stuff not worth reading. And how many times have you read something and thought, that was a waste of time? I don't know how many books I've waded through reading and reading, trying to find something I was interested in. Oh, my. If the Lord would bless it. If the Lord would take this and write it on the tables of our heart. If the Lord will plant this in it, dig our ears, hide it in our hearts. Peace, grace, a wellspring springing up when we need it. At a dry time, it might just be, come out from places you didn't know where that it was. Read it. Read it, he said. Read it. Read it. And read the letter from Laodicea. We believe that's 1 Timothy. That was written from Laodicea. Or else he wrote another letter that the Lord was not pleased to put in the canon or the collection of Scripture. Verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I know that Archippus must have thought, I don't want to do this. You know, Epaphras was gone. Paul was gone. Epaphras, who preached there, was gone. And so it was laid, necessity was laid upon Archippus. And I know exactly what he's thinking. Man, I don't know who's sufficient for this. I can't do this. I know what he was thinking. But so Paul wrote to encourage him, if you've been given this ministry, do it. The Lord's grace is sufficient. Take heed. Fulfill the ministry. Tell him. Preach the word. Like he told Timothy. Timothy was a very timid young man. Paul kept encouraging him in both letters. Be not afraid. Don't be shy. Let no man despise your youth. Be not ashamed of the gospel nor of me. Take heed, fulfill the calling that you've been called to do. Preach the word, Timothy, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and so forth. Exhort. Timothy told him to do that. Encourage him in the ministry. Paul tells the people. Old Brother John Sheasley, Senior, always, every time he prays in the study, he prays for Gabe. And I know what Gabe's thinking. I know what's going through his mind. He's so thankful for that. That means so much to him. You reckon Gabe loved John Sheasley? It's apparent that John loves Gabe. Doesn't he, Ron? Every time he prays for Gabe. Thank you for Gabe and raising him up to preach the word. It's difficult. Encourage him. Tell him that. The salutation, verse 18, by the hand of me, Paul. Who wrote this? Paul. It's his style, isn't it? His style is all over it. If you're familiar with Paul's writing, the Lord uses men in their personalities and their background and so on. So Paul's wrote to the Romans and of the law and the Galatians of the law because he knew the law. The Lord trained him, you know, in the law as a Pharisee, and he knew the law. So the Lord used him. His style also, the Lord equips men for different occupations and different people. And Paul's style is all over it. I got to tell you that Don Bell was telling me about a man from England who, a little country church in Appalachia, was thinking about asking him to be the pastor. And Donnie kind of laughed. And he said, you know, that'd be about like me going over there to preach in London, England. He said it would work. Yeah, I understand that. The Lord equips men for where and who He puts them among. But Paul's style is all over this, and I'm glad. However, no scriptures of any private interpretation. Paul didn't write this. God did. And that's what's wrong with, religion today just calls this the words of Paul, a bigoted old woman hater. You know, he wrote so much about women and Paul just hates women. Oh, no. This is God's word. Not Paul's words, God's word. No scriptures of any private or personal interpretation. I'm quoting scripture. But scripture, holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. This is God's word. It has His name all over it, doesn't it? His hand is all over it. Do you not see His hand in it? We see Paul's hand and style. I believe he wrote Hebrews. It seems to fit his style. No one knows. It's not important that we do. However, do you not see the hand of God in this word clearly? Take what we've been looking at so far today. Salutations. Do you not see the infinite wisdom and amazing wisdom of our God in just saying goodbye? These names? Do you? The mere mention of names and the farewells and so forth is, we see the hand of God in it, clearly seen. And God's Word, oh my, what a treasure. What a treasure. From the greeting, from hello to goodbye. It's God's Word. Remember my bonds. Remember, He said, remember those that are in bonds as being in bonds with them. Those that sorrow as being sorrowful with them. In other words, don't think of yourself. Don't think of yourself. Remember me. Remember, He said this. Remember them that have the rule over you. Remember, we just studied that. Praying always for us, especially, that God will open a door of utterance. I'm your preacher, right? I'm sorry, but I'm all you got. And if people in this community are going to hear the gospel, and if our children, they're going to have to hear it through me. Is that right? I'm sorry. I really am. But that's the way it is. And that's why I say, you pray for me. Okay? You pray the Lord. But every time you got people coming in who don't know the Lord, Lord, bless him. Bless him. You know, I kind of believe, well, I know if you ask for that, he'll bless you. If he doesn't bless them, he'll bless you. That's right. Remember my bonds. Oh, I can't tell you how much I feel bound. Right, Dad? I'm bound. But the Word of God's not bound. Poor preacher, powerful word. I was so ashamed of the message I put on the radio this morning. It was the truth, but it wasn't spoken like I wanted it to. But God's Word will not return void. It's the truth. Though spoken in with stammering tongue and stammering lips, a clay vessel, an earthen vessel, yet it's a treasure. And God, that's what God uses. That's what God uses. Remember me, He said. Grace be with you. He's not saying, may grace be with you. Grace be with you. God's grace is with you. The God of all grace is with you. Yes, He is. What do we say to this book? Amen. So be it. That's the way I'd have it. That's the way it is. May God bless His Word, the wonderful book of Colossians. You could start over again, couldn't we? Okay.